That phrase actually is derived from a practice of law after a lawyer or a legal advocate, this is the definition, finishes presenting the facts of their argument in a trial, then they say, I rest my case.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me? Lord Jesus, oh, we magnify you and we thank you for your presence in the house. And today, Lord, I'm asking that as we get ready to get into your word here, I'm praying for, Lord, a special anointing on us that we would receive spiritual wisdom and knowledge and the things of God. Help us to remember that, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. God's people said,
amen
and amen this morning. Glory to God. Where do I begin? With the Word. With the Word. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, John wrote, these things I am writing unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I was kind of expecting an amen somewhere right in here. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
A little weak. Pat, come on now. Show them how it's done.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. We have an advocate, don't we?
Yes.
Romans chapter 8. Jump over with me to Romans chapter 8 here. Verse 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Come on now. Amen?
Amen.
Are you excited about this Word of God, Billy?
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I've heard you yell louder than that, brother. Come on now. So in these couple verses, we have heard that Jesus is our advocate in this life that we live now and in the spiritual life that we live. Standing for us against our accuser.
Amen.
Revelation 12, verse 10, and just so you know that I'm not making this up, John said, I heard a loud voice saying, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, who is cast down from the accuser of what? The brethren. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Who was cast down?
Satan
himself was cast down. So, with these couple of scriptures in mind, this week, Sister Joyce, I want to thank you for confirming God's Word this week. Sister Joyce and I talked, and she mentioned a phrase. And this phrase just resonated in my heart. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, probably in Perry Mason or something like that, I rest my case? You remember saying that to me? And that just really sparked something in me. So thank you for that this week, Sister Joyce. That phrase actually is derived from a practice of law after a lawyer or a legal advocate, this is the definition, finishes presenting the facts of their argument in a trial. Then they say, I rest my case. With these scriptures, Jesus said He's our advocate. He said He's our intercessor. Amen. Standing in the gap for us. And Jesus rest His case. I have a video that I saw years ago, and I want us to watch this video. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may have not, but I want you to listen. And turn up the volume so everybody can hear it nice and loud.
If tonight you stood in heaven's court to seek eternal favor, would you face Jesus Christ as judge, or would you face Him as your Savior? There are many who don't quite know for sure where that verdict would be, if ever. So let's imagine for a moment you're standing dead center in the courtroom of forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of the courtroom is Jesus Christ of Nazareth! says, wait a minute, Judge, now I've got something to say. May I remind you that on the cross 2,000 years ago, I washed his sins away. I was crucified, I died, they put me in a tomb. But long about the midnight hour, the power of God hit me and I walked out of that grave, alive and well with resurrection power. The devil says, it's in the book, it's written in the book, check the book. God said, okay. Then he picks the book out, lays it open and says, now we'll see what this book has to say. He turns to the first page, the second page, the third. By the fourth, the devil seems shook. God closes it, says, the blood of Jesus must work, because there's absolutely nothing in this book. The devil says, now wait a minute, check that book again. All the sins are written down, they're all right there. God said, devil, maybe you're mistaken altogether. Maybe it's this other book down here. The devil cries, no, not that book, not that one. God said, devil, why are you so uptight? God sets the book down, the dust flies, and on the cover it says, the Lamb's Book of Life.
So because Jesus rested his case, you and I, as
believers are given the exact same authority over every situation in our lives. Because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, where does it dwell? It dwells within me. It dwells within you as believers in Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been given that authority. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to see if I can get through all these because I'm seriously excited, y'all.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on now, Hebrews. I mean, to me, this is the most exciting thing. And then the other part that I really like is Satan in there who is betrayed. What does he do when he realizes that he has been defeated? Him? He retreats. He retreats. And when we know the truth, and when we know the power that God has given to us, we can say to the enemy, I rest my case. This Jesus is in me. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 is where we'll start. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So let me tell you something. We rest our case in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not on anything that we can do. Because we cannot rest on our own merits, Paula. But we can rest on the finished work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We must understand and remember that each battle that we face in this life, each and every battle that we face in this life has already been won.
Amen.
And it's time we as believers start acting like that.
Right.
Instead of, woe is me, what am I going to do about the situation that I'm in right now? And understand that the battle has already been won.
Amen.
It's been won by the blood of the Lamb. Wow. Hallelujah. Am I right or wrong that when Jesus was on that cross, he said, it is finished.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
Lord, you ready to preach? I can see that smile on her face. She's ready to go. He said, it is finished. In other words, what was he saying? I rest my case.
Amen.
It's done. And we look at that last verse in there. The Word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of every heart.
Yes.
So if the Word of God, how many of you believe that the Word of God is that powerful?
Yes.
Amen.
If you believe that, then why don't we use it more? We have to begin to use the Word of God against your situation in saying, it is finished. The battle is already won. I am going to see how Jesus wins this battle for me. Whatever it is, here's what I want us to begin to proclaim in the face of every trial, every situation that comes into our lives. I want you to begin to proclaim, I rest my case on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's practice. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I rest my case. I love it. Don't you love that, Brother Rick?
Amen.
I rest my case. Isaiah 54. Come on now. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Jump over there with me. Isaiah 54, verse 17. There are a few weapons that are formed against me that will prosper.
No.
What? Caleb, what does that say?
No weapon.
Abby, what's it say?
No weapon.
No weapon, Bill. How many of you know the accuser likes to use weapons? You know what he does? He doesn't play fair. He examines and watches you. What's he looking for?
Faults.
Cracks. Weaknesses. And then, what does he do? He goes after what? Those weaknesses. Those faults. Those things. And begins to accuse. How many of you know what happens to a strong piece of concrete that gets a crack in it? And then the water gets in it. And then it freezes and can break a strong piece of concrete and bust it in half. Mm-hmm. What do you think the enemy is looking for? Those things as to which to come and accuse. But the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. And every tongue that rises up against me, what will happen to it? What do you do? Run from it? Or will you stand in the face of that and say, I rest my case? Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. Anybody ever heard this before? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, that whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Listen, church. What did Jesus say? Have faith in God. You shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea because of the finished work of Jesus. Because of what he has done, that we can say, get thee behind me, devil, in the name of Jesus. Because the work has been finished. I rest my case on him. We're told, do not worry, do not fret. And yet we do it all the time. Don't look at me like, oh, Pastor, it's just you that does it. Because I know better. This mountain, whatever it is before you, will be removed when we stand on the things of God. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into every example that you and I might think about. But when we think about mountains, and we think about things that will stand in our way, things that are in our face right now, I'm telling you that the work has been finished. The case is rested already by Jesus. He lives in me, so therefore the case is rested.
Amen.
I rest my case. No weapon can prosper against me, Sister Sheila.
Amen.
How many of you are just looking at me and saying, well, I wish I could believe that. I wish I could have the faith that he has to stand up there and preach that. All you need to do is believe God. Believe what he said. And you all told me that you believe what he said, right? You believe that his word is powerful. So I'm going to give you some examples of when and how to use this spiritual truth. Where you can say, I rest my case. Use the word of God against your situation. Number one, family that is away from God. Anybody fit into that category? Got some family that's away from God. Well, you know, the enemy comes in and he tries to kill, steal, and destroy. He tries to tell us such things as, you know what? Nothing's ever going to change for them. They're going to continue to get worse, and then they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell with me. And sometimes believers will actually fall for that and say, well, I guess it's true. There's nothing that I can do about it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And then I hear this, well, all we can do is pray about it. I hate that. Because it isn't all we can do. It's the best thing that you can do. All we can do is pray. Come on, get that out of your head. The best thing, the first thing that we should do is pray. You know, I got an email from Ramon over in the Philippines. And some of you remember him, Ramon and May. He just wrote me an email and he said, 30 years ago when I got saved, he said, I came out of a really bad situation and all of my family members, brothers and sisters, we're in the same situation, away from God. And he said, they made fun of me when I got saved. He said, and then they really made fun of me whenever I got called into the ministry. And they laughed me to scorn. He said, last week, his brothers and sisters, after 30 years, came into his church, got saved. Amen? Come on now, they're now going to his church. You think 30 years means anything to God? Continue to be faithful and fervent in your prayers.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Again, we're taking the Word of God. What does God say about this? Now, most of us are aware of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, especially if you've raised children in the things of God or you attempted to. You made your best try at it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And in his later years, he won't depart from that. And sometimes, you know, the devil comes in and says, that's a lie, because look at the way they're living right now. I don't care about the way they're living right now. I believe what God says.
Amen.
And I'm going to stand on that. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah is another one. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Here's an interesting portion of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 31, and I want to apply that to this situation. It's not really used much in this context, but here we go. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now this has to do with the children of Israel going into captivity. And there was a weeping by Rachel, basically meaning the Hebrew people. Weeping for her children that were now in captivity. How many of us will weep for our children when they are in captivity that Satan has them under a bondage? Do you weep for them?
Yes.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so that you do. But I want you to listen. Thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping. How many of you ever read that before? Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Come on now. Come on, amen? That's the promise of God right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got excited. I almost lost my place there. Amen. All right. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. This is the word of God. And again, I say, I rest my case, devil. This is the word of the Lord. Can we practice that? I rest my case, devil. This is the word of the Lord. So when the enemy comes in against you with your family and says they will never come, I rest my case, devil. This is what the word of God says. Hallelujah. I'm still excited, Philip. This is something that we have to begin to use and to begin to realize that God has equipped us with His Word. But we act as if, well, that's just something that we bring out on Sunday morning, or sometimes we do it every day and we do a little devotional, but that's all it's good for. No! God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness against this battle that's going on. Remember, Satan will accuse, Satan will torment you, he will try to oppress you and make you forget about the word of the Lord. That's his job. Expect him to do it. Some Christians are like, well, you know, man, I can't believe I'm getting attacked. I just can't believe it. Well, why wouldn't you if you're a true child of God? Welcome that and say, praise God. You're trying this against me again? Guess what? I rest my case. This is the word of the Lord. I got several more to go here. How about this? Our health and our well-being in sickness. Can anybody ever say that you've never been sick after you got saved?
I can't.
Now, getting saved doesn't mean that you're never going to experience those types of things. Listen. When I was younger, I never thought that this body would ever experience anything or any problems. How many of you thought that way? How many of you found out otherwise?
Absolutely.
Young people, let me speak to you just for a minute. You're looking at all these old fogies around you, right? Use a little wisdom while you're young. Okay? Some of the things that we experience as we get older is because of things we've done when we're younger. And we don't think that they'll ever catch up. But they do. Yep. You know, when I was younger, I did crazy things. I worked for my dad. My brother and I worked for my dad cleaning carpets. And I remember one time, you know those big long grand pianos, Bill? I got underneath one and picked it up with my back. Guess what? I'm paying for that now. So use a little wisdom, all right? But getting back to the subject at hand, our health and our well-being, what does God say about it? Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. I'm going to get there. Psalm 91. Here we go. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. Guess what? That's sickness. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near unto you. Listen, there are sicknesses and diseases that even will sometimes come upon the believers. Why? Because there's sin in this world. Not because of sin perhaps that you did, but because the rain falls on the just and the unjust, is what the Scriptures say. But where do we stand on this? We must take our stand of what the Word of God says. Now listen, I will tell you, it's not always easy. Especially when you're in the thick of it. I never really understood this until that heart surgery. Several of you saw me not too long after getting out of the hospital. And David and John both said to me, you know what? You look like you were about to die. Seriously. Right, David? But I will tell you this, that the Word of God is true. And even in the midst of all that, in the midst, and there were many, many times, and Laura can tell you this, that I fought against the enemy who was saying, you will never make it. You will not get better. Things will not improve. Anybody ever been lied to like that before? Because remember, He doesn't play fair. He will get you perhaps at the weakest moment that He can come to accuse. And start to begin to tell you lies that you will never recover. But this is where we need the people of God around us and the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
And sometimes it even comes in the form of craziness. I had Gene Johnson's son. Some of you may know him. But he called me up one day when I was at a low point. And Michael and I have fished a few times together. And we always razz each other about you know, who's the best fisherman? But he called me one day and he said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Not good." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't think I'll ever be able to go fishing again." And you see how low that we can get? And I doubted the fact that I would ever go fishing again, let alone get here back in the pulpit again. That's what the devil does. You know what he did? Very loudly over the phone, he said, "I do not want to hear that. You will be back out there again. So get that in your head." And I began to change and to come back around to the things of God and to get this back in my head again, where I can rest my case on the finished work of Jesus. No weapon formed against me. And again, I rest my case, devil. This is the Word of God. So when you're going through the sicknesses, some of you have never experienced that before, but you don't know what will happen. I want you to stand firm, and I want you to surround yourself with people of God. And God will keep His Word. 1,000 will fall at your right, 1,000 at your left, but nothing will come near to you. The last one that I want to talk about is our daily provisions and our finances. Here's what the devil says. "You know what? You keep giving that tithe and that much offering, you're going to go broke." When you talk to an unbeliever about your giving habits to the Lord, you know what they say? "You are absolutely stupid. Well, you're just giving all that money away just so that preacher can have what he has." They think that you're ignorant. You know, the devil will come. How many of you have had this happen where things begin to get a little bit tight and the devil says, "You know what, you need to cut back. You need to cut back on what you're giving." Anybody ever have that happen to you?
Yep.
This is where you need to say, "Oh, devil, thank you for reminding me of that. I'm going to give more." Thank you for reminding me that things are tough. You know what? It's one of the practices that we've tried to do here at the church. When finances start to get a little low, we give more.
Amen. Amen.
Because we know what God's Word will say here. Matthew chapter 6. And again, you know, I don't want to hash back over things that you say, "I already know that." But I want to go back over it and I want you to see this for yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?'" In other words, we're not to worry about this, "for after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof." Alright, so what do we know from God here? We're supposed to worry a little bit, right, Miss Joyce? Wait a minute. Not just a teeny meaning, living. Alright, this is a promise based on verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, when we're seeking God first and we're putting Him first, everything else will be added unto us. But if you want to test this out, stop giving to God. See what happens. Anybody ever been there? Tested that one out? None of you are going to raise your hand. None of you. Put God first. That's the promise. That's the promise. Now, if you jump back here just a couple of pages to the book of Malachi, go backwards. Last book. You know, I heard a preacher say that there's just one book in the Bible that's an Italian book. And he said it was this one, Malachi. All depends on how you look at it, right? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me with this, saith the Lord. See if I won't pour out to you a blessing that there will not be room enough to hold. How many of you experienced that? God says, test me in this. Listen, with both of these scriptures, when you're doing what God asks you to do, when the enemy comes, listen, will he come in like a flood? Is that scriptural? I got one yes. Will the enemy come in like a flood? Yes, he will. He will come in like a flood. Isaiah 59, verses 19 through 21. So, shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come from Zion, and unto them that turn from their transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. Listen, when the enemy comes in, not if the enemy comes in, when he comes in, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. What's the standard? Some of you haven't quite understood this scripture. What's the standard? The standard means when the enemy is coming in and you see him and his demonic activity rushing towards you, the Bible says that God will lift up a wall or a standard, and that wall is comprised of His Word. Come on! Do you understand this now? When the enemy comes in, we use the Word of God and say, I rest my case, devil. This is the Word of the Lord. Put that Word of God out in front of you. When you feel the enemy coming in, he's coming in to destroy you. But lift up the standard against him, the Word of God, and say, here it is, devil, in your face. I'm not talking about her being the devil, okay? Lest any of you get that idea, okay? But you can say, here is the Word of God. Therefore, I rest my case. And what does the devil have to do? He's got to go. He doesn't have a choice here. He's got to go according to the Word of God. I want to end this by saying what God says He will do, will He do it?
Yes.
Will He do it?
Yes.
Amen.
If he said he'll do it, he'll do it. And I believe that he is saying, Church, I rest my case. And I want you to rest your case as well. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Thank you for your standard. And I pray that you would help us to use that standard when the enemy comes. And if he's here knocking at our door right now, that we would just in time say, this is the word of the Lord. Father, thank you. We give you praise today. And now just let that burn upon our hearts, God. Do we not forget that? In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get... I rest my case, devil. This is the word of the Lord. Come on.
I rest my case, devil. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.